like to welcome everyone by your side, the church today. Welcome everyone by your side to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would like us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. We are going to read from verse 25 to verse 28. Matthew chapter 20. From verse 25 to 28. The title of what we are going to look today into is honor and greatness that comes from God only. Somebody say, honor and greatness that comes from God only. One more time. Honor and greatness that comes from God only. Okay. What Church for Pros is for is not just about money. We have finished last Sunday the 10 irrefutable laws of financial wealth. One of the things you're going to notice that God promised in the scriptures, and then beyond the promise, is a blessing that comes through wisdom, is that at the right hand there is length of life. The right hand. That's the preferred position. The right hand. Length of life. And the left hand of wisdom, riches and what? Honor. What are riches without honor? And what are riches without a good, satisfied, long life to have to enjoy it? What are riches without honor? When Solomon had an encounter with God, God appeared to him after he had made sacrifices to God, and God asked him to ask for anything he wants. And he said, Lord, that you'll give me a wise and understanding heart, that I may lead this people. He said, I'm only but a child. Who can lead your people? Remember, the focus is not himself. It's the people. The Bible said, and the speech pleased the Lord. The speech, what he answered, pleased the Lord. And the Lord said, you didn't ask for riches. And maybe you say, okay, you're a child of a king. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies. You didn't ask for any of those things that people normally would have asked for. You were given a blank check. And you asked for the ability to do the ministry that I gave to you. What ministry? To be a king, to lead the people. He said, a wise and an understanding heart. And God said, now, that which you asked for, I give to you. And there will be no one before you and in your generation and after that will be as wise as you. You will be the wisest of all. He said, but that which you didn't ask, I also give you. And he said, I give you riches, I give you honor. Is that what comes from wisdom? So once God impacts wisdom on you, there are things that are follow come. They come with the wisdom. long life, length of days. Wisdom is a defense. Wisdom will protect you. And then riches and what? Honor. Somebody say riches and honor. Say, I hear. And so we've talked about, you know, financial wealth. Now let's talk about the honor and greatness that comes from God only. I would like you to hold that neighbor by your side and read that scripture to him or her. One to go. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. So the Gentiles in this context are those who were non-Jews, but revelationally is talking about those who do not have a covenant with God, those who are not known as the children of God. In our context, it means those who do not know or have received Christ. Somebody say, I hear. Did you get that? He said, the people of the world, they have a system and they have a concept of greatness. For them, greatness means lord it over people. Have the highest positions. So you can control people. You can manipulate people. You can, you know, oppress people. Those who are great are the ones who oppress them. They have money to oppress. Because as God begins to arm us with wisdom to make more wealth, we must be careful not to become fools. Because the prosperity of fools does what? Destroys them. So you don't let what God is blessing you with be corrupted to become your destruction. Don't let what is meant to be a blessing to become your destruction. So he said, the people of the world, that's hard. Look at what's happening in our country today. The masses, who are they? I mean, you see people who are enslaved, people who are defrauded, people who their commonwealth has been stolen. And the people who are doing these things will come with very, you know, with great demonstration of affluence and spray chicken change. Give them little things. Things that are theirs. Things that if the nation was better, if the leaders had done what they are supposed to do and lead well, the systems alone. Nigeria, for example, our nation is a wonderful nation. We are not lazy people. Just basic things, and people will thrive on their own. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The government is not what builds a nation. It's the people that build the nation. What the government does is to create the infrastructure, to create the systems, the policies, make the environment conducive, enabling. Then the private sector, it's the people that build the nation. They share some money. Give and give some money, and everybody's crying. I am for this, I am for that. For the little things that they are benefiting, and it's appalling. But that's what happened. People love their oppressors. They have a concept, a condition called Stockholm syndrome, where people fall in love with their oppressors. And that's what energizes the people in the world. The more they show power, march on everybody. I'm important. Call me doctor. Call me professor. Call me His Excellency. And if you don't add any of those things, you're in trouble. So there is honor that comes from men. There is a concept of greatness that is not of God's kingdom, not of God's view. That's not how God sees greatness. This is how the world sees greatness. And Jesus begins to distinguish between his concept of greatness, God's concept of greatness, and men's concept of greatness. So he said, you know, the rulers of the people of this world lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. But look at the next verse. Join me, verse 26. Want to go? Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you. How many of you desire to become great? How many of you? If you don't, keep your hands down. Announce yourself before the Lord. How many of you desire to become great? You don't just want to be rich, you want to be great. You desire to be great. You don't just want to pass through life. And the moment the person is buried, people cry, eat rice on top of the person's head, and then the person is forgotten. That's all. The memory of the righteous shall be what? Blessed. That means the remembrance. There are men that though they have slept years, decades, centuries of years ago, yet they are still living. Their works are speaking. Their words are still changing lives. The things they've done, their legacy is still there. That's greatness, impact. Where you live your life and you walk through the journey of this life on the natural earth, and you leave an imprint, a mark on people's lives. You have a legacy. You have people. You have lives. You have works that speak of you. So verse 20 says, it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great, let him be your servant. This is a mystery. Everybody shout wisdom. It's not common. It's not. There is difference between common sense and wisdom. Even the common sense is not very common. Shout again. Shout wisdom. So, if this is wisdom, you should know that ordinarily, because the masses are never really wise, the generality of people are never really wise. I've never seen a more false statement like the voice of the people is voice of God. In fact, the voice of the people is the voice of the devil. I've never seen a more inaccurate statement. Very foolish statement. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life. No, yeah. So if I want to have a great life, I'm going to be thinking about service. And can I tell you a secret? That's the secret of building great brands, great businesses. Don't focus on just how much they make. They invest more. They put in money and put in effort. Make so much effort on how they can serve their market, serve their people, the people they are, their clients, and how they can continue to serve them better. In fact, they have departments that are dedicated. All their researches and the money they invest there is how they can serve their market better, how their service can give the person a better experience, how things can become faster, how it can become more effective, how it can, that's what they invest on. They pay people money, get coaches, bring professionals, get their teams and their staff in serious training, in training them on how to handle the clients, client care, customer care, because they want to serve. They see their customers, their clients, their market as people they are called to serve. That's how you build a great brand. The moment your perspective of greatness becomes service driven, you have married wisdom. Kai, once you marry wisdom, embrace it. It will, wisdom will place an ornament of grace on your, around your neck. It will decorate your life. You have embraced wisdom. In ministry, you're a pastor, you're a church worker, it's service orientation. If you see yourself as a pastor, or you're a leader in church, you're a leader in one thing or the other, and you feel like that's a place where you want to lord it over, you miss it. It's service. Everybody shall service. Now, do you know the implication of this statement? This is Jesus saying, only those giving to service are considered great in my eyes. So it doesn't matter what men call you, and it doesn't matter the honor they bestow on you out there. In the kingdom of God, which has a different system than the system of the world, in the kingdom of God, the only people who are considered great and honor is bestowed on them are those giving to service. Verse 27. I would like you to lift the hands of your neighbor. Or hold, sorry, I say lift it before you go, lift and go. Hold the hands of your neighbor and read that scripture to your neighbor. Want to go? Did you see what is using? Slave. Powerful. Obviously, we know that he's not saying that we are enslaved, that people will not oppress us. No. He said, position yourself to serve other people's interests. Solve other people's problems. Don't sit down and be thinking of what people owe you, what you expect from people to give to you, who will help me. No, you just sit down. I always tell people, I said, if you've been running low on favor, it means there has been scarcity of value. You're no longer very valuable to a lot of people. If nobody is favoring you, or you hardly find favor, that people just remember you and want to bless you, there are three key things you must change. Number one, you must change what you believe and what you're saying. That's where the root is coming from. Your believing and your words, you must change it. You must begin to call yourself what God calls you, and believe that you are favored. I don't care how many times you've been rejected, don't accept it. That thing is temporary. I don't care how many times you've been disappointed and people have passed over you, neglected you, it doesn't matter. Just stand on your faith. Why we look at things which are not what? Seen. But are the things which are seen. For the things which are not seen are what? Temporary. What is temporary? Subject to change. So don't conclude yet. Don't say, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why people are not favoring me. I don't know, nothing is working. Nobody remembers me. No. Don't do that. Start going into God's word and see what God says about you. How God's favor is on you. That instead of shame, you're having double. And you begin to now put that in your mouth. Not saying it so you will see it. Saying it because you believed it. Saying it. That's the first thing that has to change. That's the first thing that has to change. The second thing that has to change is that in the kingdom, God created a system for every blessing that you want is a harvest, there is a seed to it. For example, if you want salvation, the seed is faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus has died for everyone on earth. He didn't die for Christians, so he died for all mankind. But if the gospel is not preached and a person does not believe and confess Jesus, he's not saved. Until faith is sown and invested in the gospel, nobody gets saved. People will go to hell even though Jesus has saved them and paid the price for it. So you have to know the seed. When you notice scarcity of favor, what it means is you've not been sowing favor yourself. The seed for favor, number one, is favor. Every seed reproduces according to his kind. So instead of sitting down and looking for who is going to help you, how you don't have this, how you need capital, how you need somebody to support you, how you need this to happen, what you need to do is to immediately start looking for who you are better than. I was still a student in the university when I started paying school fees for children. You heard me right. A student in the university when I started paying people school fees. I was still a student when God told me, he said, every child is your child. Become a father to the children you see that do have no help. Wouldn't have help. And that's when I began to notice that the little thing I call little is somebody's miracle. So this is my concept, that no matter where you are and no matter what you're going through, there is somebody you are better than. Always look out for those you are better than. So you see somebody sitting down, just go to your room today and you notice that there are certain things in your room that is somebody's miracle. And you're saying, I don't have. You have to start going out of your way to sow favor. Stop expecting harvest of seeds you're not sowing. That's foolishness. What did I say? Oh, you have a land, 10 plus of land. It was given to you. That's a miracle. Miracle. You come and give testimony. I have 10 plus of land. January came, past. March came, past. The rains came. By August, September, October, you were in your room. Maragada, Rushaganaba. I am fruitful. By November, you went to harvest. Harvest what? The only thing you come there is open heavens. Is it not tongues you are speaking? Power made available, dynamic. But the power didn't have any cucumber you planted. No yam. No cassava. You didn't see the land. When you go there, the only thing that will greet you are weeds. Weeds, grasses that are undesirable. And maybe one or little things that somebody threw in there by mistake. And by mistake, it entered the soil. And by mistake, it started germinating. And that's all. If you want a garden, plant it. Don't wish for a garden. So if you want favor, start sowing favor. If you want people to start giving to you, start giving. Start giving. No matter how talented and gifted you are, if you're not someone who gives to people out of compassion, out of mercy, out of affection, if you're not somebody that when you comes to God's work, you don't give out of affection, you love, you take pleasure in the stones of Zion, you love Zion, you're passionate, you want to see the work of God prosper. If you're the kind of person that only gives when you hear testimony that somebody gave and got, your transactional only, hey, you will find it difficult in life. There are nobody on earth, there are nobody, people that live a more frustrated and hard life than people who don't give. Life is always hard for those who don't give. Always hard. And it doesn't matter how gifted you are. And it doesn't matter the kind of job you have. You can have a job in Nigeria, you're earning 3 million a month, you're among the 2%, right? If it's up to 2%. You're earning 3 million naira a month in Nigeria, you have a job as your salary, you earn that money and you still have a hard life. It has nothing to do with what enters your hands. So you've got to understand the secret. If you notice you are not seeing favor, that's the second thing you're going to. It means you're not compassionate. The merciful shall obtain mercy. That's how it works. And when you're doing it, you're not doing it so that you can. No, because the wrong motives corrupt the seed. And corrupted seeds don't give desired harvest. So you don't do it because you're a sense man. Everything, there is an angle to it. There are certain times that you need a miracle. There are certain times you're expecting something. There are certain times you're in a situation and the Holy Spirit will lead you. And the faith action you're going to take and He will lead you to take is giving. It may be give to the work of God. It might be give compassionately to the poor. It might be anything. It might even be take the thing to your spiritual parents or your natural parents. Let them speak over you. The Holy Spirit will guide you that way. But not always. Your lifestyle of giving must carry the right motive. It must carry the right motive. You can actually do the right thing for the wrong reasons. You can't manipulate God. You serve and worship God gladly with a loving heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The number three thing that must change. The number three thing that must change is you start asking, how valuable are you to people? Stop looking for what people should do for you, how people should value you, and start looking for, how can I serve? How can I support? How can I contribute? How can I make this person's life better? How can I improve on this? If you have a service orientation, if your life is driven by serving, you will never lack favor. You will be sought after. You will be valued. You must give value to be valued. You must give value to be valued. And that thing you're calling favor, people are preferred, means they are valued. Did you get that? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Say, I hear. So I want to ask you, how many of you want to be the best in all that God has called you? You're not trying to compete with anybody. The best of your purpose, the best of your potentials, the best of the ministry God has called you to, the best in your career, whatever it has to do. How many of you want? That's a life of excellence. What does Jesus? How many of you want to be the first, not the last? Now, you're not lusting. You're actually claiming God's promises. You shall be the head. You shall be the first. You shall be the head. Above only and not in it. So you are in the perfect will of God. The Lord says, let him be your slave. That level of service. Service where you humble yourself without arrogance, with all humility, and you seek the good of others. How you can bless others. Let him be your slave. Verse 28. Now hold your neighbor and read. 1, 2, go. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom. Somebody said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? And what level of service? To the point he sacrifices. Was he dying for himself? He was sacrificing his life, going through pain, leaving his abode of glory for the salvation of the people who will end up killing him. He was saving the people mocking him. That level of service. And that's the life he lived. Almighty El Shaddai, all majesty, he had chose to live among men. Didn't live in luxury, meek and lowly. Moving from one place to another, could have had the most enjoyable time, feasting on everything else, good time, and then go and die. No. He will go to a place, they will reject him. He will go to another place. They will mock him. Healing the sick, raising the dead, delivery, all he was doing. Noticing that people have been following him for 3 days, they don't have food. He's the one that looks into the eyes of people and understands. They are weary, they are scattered, they need help, they need food, and he's there serving, not to be served. He didn't reduce him. So our mindset of wealth, our mindset of success, our mindset of honor, our mindset of greatness must begin to change to be aligned with what God sees as greatness, the kingdom concept of greatness. The most successful among you in church should be the one serving the most in church. The more God raises you, you're a student one day, now you're a medical doctor, now you're a professor, now you're a pilot, now you're an entrepreneur, you have now started one little business, now you've built a medium scale company, you have now built a large scale company, you have raised a multinational. Your business is beyond even Nigeria. One day you were praying for a job. I was talking to someone recently, and I said to this person, I said, please, I say, I'm asking you in the name of the Lord, do not let what God gave you to be a testimony and an inspiration to the younger people become a discouragement. I said to him, I said, right here where you were serving, you were praying, we were prophesying times of favor, and God moved you, and right inside this church, moved you, gave you a job. I said, even the job came from the church. The people God moved their hearts to favor you are members of the church, inside the church, and gave you a job that took your finances almost more than 5 times more and took it up. I said, do you know the meaning of that? I said, the reason God did that was so you can stand on this altar and give a testimony. And tell people and say, I've served God with all my life. Served God faithfully when it was little. Served God when there was nothing. Little was coming in. All of you, don't give up. And in due season, you will reap. So the younger ones who are seeing you, who are trusting God that one day they will come into their own oasis, they will come into their own blessing, we see you. And what you should do now is you serve them more. You serve them all. That thing becomes a testimony. I said, you see, it is that thing that you have entered into, that God gave you in the church, not outside the church. He said, now it is now what you're using to hear God in another way. He's now taking you out. Is what the devil will tell. What you're doing is that the devil will tell people and say, and you know, the devil is bad. I said, the devil is setting you up. I know you believe you're hearing God, but the devil is setting you up. Let me tell you what the devil is planning. The devil will now begin to, when you begin to show your picture, you buy your first car because now you have a good job. You're earning in dollars, you're earning in pounds, you're earning in euros. The devil will now tell the younger ones, did you notice that when he was serving in church, his life was nowhere? Did you notice now he left and he's doing something? His life is blossoming. His life is now different. He's prospering. The devil won't tell them the miracle came when he was inside the church. That even the miracle came from the members of the church. They won't even tell him that. The devil will use that to discourage others and say, if you like, stay there now. When you move now, your life will be better. I said, are you noticing that you are trying to turn God's testimony into a weapon for the devil? I said, you may go to another church and be there and be telling yourself that it's the same God you're serving. But there are people in that your church, that place God placed you, that the enemy will destroy and take them off service because they thought is when you left God by going to bless you. I said, are you seeing what God is, the devil is doing? So we must know. We must always know. We must always, at all times, understand the purpose of greatness. That there is an honor and greatness that comes from God. And God's concept of it. Wave your hands if you're here. Come on, say, I'm here. Say, I'm here. Let's look at a few scriptures and then we'll round off. John chapter 12, verse 24 and 26. We'll read from verse 24. I want you to hold that neighbor and read to that neighbor and read out loud. One, two, go. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground. And what? It remains. But if it, it produces. So, say with me, my service is a spiritual sacrifice. I am sowing my time. I am sowing my talent. I am sowing my positions. I am sowing my wealth. I am sowing my gifts, sacrificing it for the blessing of someone else. So when it stays alone without the sacrifice, it abides alone. But when I sow it out, service multiplies you. It remains alone, but when it dies, it produces much grain. Verse 25. Keep holding that person and read. One, two, go. He who loves his life will lose it. And that's why a lot of people don't serve. They love their life. I was talking to somebody some time ago, and it's not just one person, I've heard it. And the person said, Pastor, but I have my own life to live. I have my own life to live. Don't I have my life? Everybody is living their lives. Pastor, you're living your life. I said, do you think this thing I'm doing is my life? That's where you got it. Every time you now start noticing, you say, I made up my mind. I have my own life. I once you start hearing, I, you have missed God. minister hearing, I talked with God. And anytime you hear people who say, I, whenever they want to, you know, there is a religious language for it. He said, I have peace. I prayed about it, I have peace. They will never hear you, you will never hear, and the Lord told me. And the Lord said, because you can escape through, I have peace. But you can't lie against the truth. Once you say the Lord said, once the Lord says, you know he will speak the truth. And I tell people, I say, listen, your conscience is not the Holy Spirit. Your heart, somebody say, I'm following my heart. Please don't follow your heart. Your heart will lead you astray. Your heart is not the Lord. God is greater than your heart. Say, Pastor, but I followed my heart. No. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord Jesus. And when you notice the Lord leading you differently and your heart leading you differently, carry that heart. Discipline it. Bring it back and discipline it and say, stay there. Don't use your heart. Pastor, my heart led me. People have walked away from marriage covenant. They stayed before the Lord. They had few issues here and there, and marriages have issues. And you're asking them, no abuse, no threat to life. No abuse, no threat to life. Nothing of those there. Not even chronic or infidelity. Repeated infidelity, nothing. They just say, my heart left. I don't feel nothing for him anymore. Pastor, she doesn't move me anymore. Your heart left. Your heart is God, right? Why wouldn't your heart left? Because we're English. I said, why wouldn't your heart not leave, left? Why wouldn't it? How can it not left when it is already chasing something else? Affection to one is disloyalty to the other. The moment, I used to tell men, the moment you start having shy cheek, you stop loving your wife. You didn't hear what I said? No, that's how it works. Jesus says you love one and what? Hate the other. Don't deceive yourself, you can't love two. Once you start romancing something else, your heart starts leaving the other. So you must learn to those of us that God has kept to this moment and keep being consistent, is not because we have never had reasons to leave or the reasons to shake. It's because we've known the truth. The truth is what binds us. The truth is what keeps us. You have to love Jesus more than you love yourself. You have to love Jesus more than you love your future. You have to love your commitment and loyalty to Jesus and his truth must be greater than anything else. Those who love their life end up losing it. But those who lose their life surrender it to Jesus so that it will be Christ living in me are the ones that will keep it for eternal life. Now, let's look at the last verse, and I want you to read. Read 1, 2, go. Verse 26. Let's read fast. Everybody shout it loud. 1, 2, go. If anyone. So, what is he talking about there? Somebody say service. If anyone, what? Serves me. Are you aware that you can serve your talent? There are some of you that may have come to this church because you like a church where there is good music. And you say there is good music in Lamb. So you came here. There are some of you that come to church because the church is closest to you. And there may be other churches, but it's the happening church. You like church where there is everything is happening, and that's why you're here. There are some of you that come to church here because your friends come to the church, and you like your friends, so you started following them to church. There are some of you that come to church here because you like the man, you have heard him, you've gone to some other churches, but this man, they preach you, this man, they teach you, they talk sense for that place, you know, and you started coming. There are some of you that come to this church because you followed one fine girl. They say they are guests, they fine, they dress for that church, they do this thing for that church. There are some of you that come to this church because you were passing and cars were everywhere, and you told yourself, if there are a lot of young people here and look at all the cars, you know, somebody was telling me, he said, Pastor, the first time I came to church, I now saw cars everywhere. So I said, okay. I now entered and I was looking for elderly people. He said, young people. He said, so they're the ones that have these cars. He said, I wasn't even thinking about a car. So the person was giving me a testimony and said, Pastor, that day I spoke about a project we were doing in church and asked people to give, that the way I just said it, he said, where he was coming from, that every day they are raising one money, every service is money raising, and the way it's as if everybody, there is a yoke on your neck, you must give or you die, you know. That's the way they talk about giving here. It's just like, just say it, people. He said he was sitting by people by the side, and by the side, young people. He said, "Say, Pastor, this one wrote $1,000. This one wrote this how many $1,000?" He said, "It's $1,000 they were writing." He was looking at them. He said, "When they said people who wrote, just come out, let me pray over you." That they will even say, "Don't write your name, don't write your number. It's between you and God. Whatever you want to go, just write it as a point of contact. Don't write your name, don't write your number." It's just, he said, he was not planning. He stood up because everybody stood up to go and give. He said, "What kind of church is here? People are prospering, young people are growing, people are." He said, "Hey, that's the church I want to go to." Now there are different reasons you can use to come to a church, and God uses them. God can even use a fine facility to bring a person to a church. Turn. I cried. You know, I didn't wake up and say, because my parents couldn't give me what I want, I am not going to another family that has money. That's a fearful child. You know what a child does? Do you know what a son does? A son fights the battle of his father. What your father couldn't do, a son rises up. If your father built his company, furniture company, but we're still doing carpenter, the reason he sent you to school, for you to know more than him, is not to come and be ashamed of him. It's to come back and use that knowledge and tell daddy, we are going to take this company digital. We are going to turn it from carpentry to furniture shop. And we are going to do it this way. I may not be a carpenter, but I read business administrations. I know how to do marketing. I have this in digital marketing. Let's hire some other people. He will come in there, rearrange those things, put it all together, and take that company to the next level. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If he doesn't feel led into that particular line of business, he will tell daddy, we are going to move this thing. Can we sell this so that I can manage this? This is where I have my this. That's what a son does. You know what all my passion was? I came there second year. I couldn't stop crying. I cried. It was one of my drive. While other students were playing, I was plowing. That's what God helped me. At 24, before I will clock 24, I was still going to enter my final year. I was already a millionaire. I came to Lagos. I hired and moved them from there to a 4-bedroom flat. The next year I came, once I came one day and furnished the whole flat in one day. In one day. Then the next thing, I gave my father a car. And so, on my life, my uncle called me one day. He said, "You can never fail." He said, "If I heard your father, he was in my house praying for you. I heard, if you see where your father is praying for you," he said, "nobody can bring you down in life. A true son builds his father's house." So when you're a Christian, you don't go to Abuja and say, "I want a church that is a happening church." No. You say, "Where is my father's house?" If you go there and there is no music there, what are you called to do there? Build that music. Nepios is, "I'm entering a church." They don't want to build. That place that has music that you like, who built it? I'm asking you. Somebody. So there are people that serve their talent. There are some people that are in this place in music. I don't know why I use you people a lot. There are people here that what you are serving is your passion for music. I can tell you why. You've never won a soul. But you sing, and you like to sing. You spend hours singing, but you've never interceded for a soul. You are not serving God. You're serving your talent, your passion. You like music. If it was not choir, you'll be doing music somewhere else. It's not God you're serving. Somebody that God brought to choir, you are now chatting with her in the night. You're serving devil. You're destroying a life. But you're coming up to sing. You're not serving God. You're serving your passion for music. When you serve God, you see the works of righteousness. Service is a sacrifice of self. What did I say? Again. You either serve God or you serve self. But you can't serve both. Anytime yourself, your own personal interest comes before truth, comes before the blessing of others, comes before principles, what you're doing is service. That thing you're calling your heart is human passion. Ambition and passion is not God. There are people that serve money, and the reason you may be coming to church for pros is not God. Each or any way go. And money is more important to you. And you don't joke with church for pros. You have even told your friends, "If you want to make money, come to Lamb." You have not evangelized. You have never told anybody about Jesus. But you have told them about the service that empowers people to make money. Everything is about money. You can't serve money and serve God at the same time. Money is supposed to be what you get to use to serve God. You're not supposed to use God to serve money. You have to have it in the right place and the right perspective. He said, "Therefore, where I am, that's where my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." May the Lord honor you greatly. May the Lord give you a perspective of service, empower you with grace to be steadfast, unwavering, and abounding in the work of God. May your life be a testimony of service, impact, honor, and greatness. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God bless you. Let's stand on our feet. I'm going to ask that if you have not filled this, if you didn't feel this today, I need ushers and protocols and many more hands. Wherever you're standing, wave your hands and let them give it to you. Let them give it to you. So let me use another set of people, for example. People that like to teach, like me. How many of you like to teach? You notice when every time you give people advice, you teach, you like to transfer knowledge, right? That you're teaching people doesn't mean you're serving God. Because you're just talking. It's your passion. You like to talk. And you talk a lot. So how God brought me to service is that, let me not exaggerate. I will not. The least I pray for an hour message, the least is 3 hours to pray for the people that will hear the message. The power to do the message is more than the information of the message. More important. I cry and intercede for people that will hear that message. Nobody can be a preacher and you're serving God without first being an intercessor. If you can't pray people through, he said, my children, of whom I travel again, as with the pains of childbirth, until Christ. You see, people that like to talk, people run from them. Whenever you see a man that talks like this and he's magnetic people, people want to hear him. He's an intercessor. There is another compelling force. Something. You are hearing a voice behind my voice. If you're not an intercessor, you just like to talk. So you're teaching in maturity. Schools is coming in June 15th. That 1 hour, prayer change should have started now. Father, your word is like a hammer. People are coming with hardened hearts. Not because they want to be hardened. Lies the enemies have told. Prejudice. People have traumas of the past that have hardened them up. Your word is like a refiner's fire. You're crying. Crying. Let your word be a healing balm. You will invoke God's mercy. Invoke God's mercy. Invoke God's mercy over the people until you become, and that's what makes your words comely. It's no longer advice. People can hear you. They can sense genuine interest in them. Because when you pray for people long enough, you love them genuinely. And this thing leaks out. When you talk, they know you are not just there to show off. You have. It's about them. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. There is a genuineness to your communication. So you can even rebuke them and they will love your rebuke rather than the flattery of an enemy, of another person. They will rather hold you and hold your rebuke as the strokes of a friend. I can go on and on. The whole lot of, you are in media, you just like media. And I know, I will tell you why. You have never prayed that the word of God may spread swiftly. Number one, you are not spreading the word, you are not publishing it. It's the media, the technology, the excitement. All your life you have dreamt of carrying camera, putting the ear, and you like technology. It's your gift, it's your passion. You don't pray for the word of God. You don't bind the prince of the power of the air to get away from our digital waves. You don't pray that people will find distance. You don't release angels. There is no prayer. If they are praying in your department, you're not there. Guess what? You're not even spreading the gospel on media. You are in media in church. But the only thing that is on your timeline is business, comedy. The only thing you're online doing is feeding yourself with worldliness. Even the gospel of media, you're not doing it. So what you're serving is your passion for media. Without church media, you will still be doing media. You can do media everywhere else. You are just passionate about media, not God. There is what we call he who serves me. Serve God.